message on the cross tonight, and next Sunday morning, and next Sunday night, we're going to preach on the cross. The cross is what matters. When I come to the cross, you know what I got? When I went there, I left shame, I left guilt, I left my past, but when I walked away from the cross, I walked away forgiven. Think about that. When I went there, bound, are you hearing me? Condemned to die, headed to hell. That's what I had when I went there. I had shame. I had guilt. I had everything against me. I couldn't look up. There was no way to look up. My sin had weighted me down. It humbled me that I was going to have to look at a supreme God. Oh, but when I knelt down, I had nothing. But when I stood forgiven, as clean as the driven snow. That's what happens when you come to Christ. It's wonderful. Yes. It's wonderful tonight. Think about that. And I'm just having I just can't get over it right now. I just can't do it. I don't want to. But I keep reading about the cross and reading these scriptures. It says 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we'll look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll get to 2 Corinthians in a minute. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, that be me. If you're saved, that be you. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Think about that. Then drop down to chapter 2. Drop down to chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, what is the power of God? It's the preaching of the cross. For unto us, us that are saved, it is the power of God. I'm preaching to us tonight on the cross. On the cross of Christ. What Christ done on the cross for us. Huh? What saves us? What makes us saved? If you're saved tonight, we're going to preach to you what makes you saved. What saves you tonight? And if you ain't saved, there'll be plenty of room for you to get in. There'll be plenty of room for you to get in tonight. Think about that. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll look at verse... Let's see here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verse... Well, let's just start at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin... Talking about Christ, who did no sin. Think about that. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. I'm preaching to you the cross tonight. What happened at the cross? He who knew no sin became sin for me. But look what it says here. Who his own self bare our sins. He bore my sins. I know what I've done. I know what I do. I know what I think. He bore my sins. You know what you've done, and you know what's in your mind. You know what, and he bore your sins tonight. That's the purpose of the cross. The cross. It's important tonight. Now let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll preach to you if you can at all tonight on the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. We're going to stay right here if we can and look at this verse. We might call a reference here and there, but we're not going to read no other verses other than this one right here, right now. And if you ain't got this marked in your Bible, this would be a good verse to mark in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It's the one that was on the board a while ago. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The cross, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Without this thought, without this teaching, without this truth, we're lost. We're lost. If there's no substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, we're all lost. There is no other way. There's nothing else. It has to be. For the Bible, I believe, this is what I think myself, for the Bible, the greatest truth is that God became man. Yes. The deity of Christ. That's the greatest truth for the Bible. But the greatest truth for me as a sinner is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ that he died in my place. For without that, I am lost and going to hell, and I have no hope. For nothing else will work. It's not Christ plus nothing. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus church membership. It's not Christ plus good works. It's not Christ plus a good heritage. It's Christ plus nothing. Him and him alone. And God looked on him and pardoned me. That God looked, I cannot die. Oh, I wish I had the words of that song. I could preach the song as well as I could the scripture. I love the song, but I cannot die. Think about that. I have eternal life. When I walked away from the cross, I walked away forgiven with eternal life then. Because my salvation is not in me, it's in Christ. Because of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Alright? So let's look at something tonight here. Let's just go back. Now, you don't have to turn there, but just listen to me. In Genesis chapter 3, we know that Adam and Eve sinned. Everybody knows that, right? Everybody here? Anybody don't know that? Anybody don't know that? So all of us know Adam and Eve, they sinned, all right? Well, they sinned. Well, they were naked. And they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, correct? All right, that is just a good example or a type of our own works or what we do to cover up. All right, but it wasn't good enough. It wouldn't work. Nothing would happen. And then something had to happen that had never happened. Death come in the garden, and it wasn't Adam and Eve who fell over dead. But they was an animal that was innocent. that had done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. And God come down and slayed the animal, skinned it, and made them coats of skin that would cover their nakedness, cover their sin, if you would. And that was the first picture of substitutionary death that we find in the Word of God. It had to be. What they covered themselves with didn't work because it didn't appease God. But God had made an animal. And God had, as He made the animal, it comes with a truth that never changed. That the substitute has to come from God. It has to be innocent and pure. And this animal didn't do nothing away. See, this is before animals bit you. Before this, animals, before, in fact, before all this, they didn't eat animals. They didn't run. You could pet your pet wasn't a Siamese. It was a 900-pound lion. All right? Your pet wasn't a little tiny dog. Well, them mop dogs, it wasn't that. Your pet was maybe a big wolf. They didn't bite you. They licked on you. They was your buddy. Huh? You see these crazy people that play with these snakes. Well, they could do that. It wasn't no problem. All right, are you hearing me? They didn't bite you. They didn't scratch you. Are you hearing me? Everything was perfect. And then God killed that innocent animal. And He shed the blood. Because you can't skin one without shedding blood. And He shed the blood and covered him. And that is a perfect picture that the substitute has to be provided by God. It has to be innocent. And it has to be by the shedding of blood. That truth never ever changed. Because you don't change truth. There's only one truth. Everybody follow me today. So it went on through. And from there on, they would sacrifice. And God taught them to sacrifice. And we go to Cain and Abel. And Cain brought the fruit of his hands, his works. And God was not pleased. But Abel brought what? He brought the firstling of a flock and slayed it and shed the blood, and God accepted it. That's the way it has been since God done that for Adam and Eve. It went on. We mentioned this morning about Abraham. As Abraham was going to take the life of his son, that was between Abraham and God. And it was going to be an innocent. There had to be something happen there. And here come an innocent substitute. And the ram coming up beside the hill. And he killed the ram and had his horns caught in the thicket. Another beautiful picture of a substitutionary death. What was it the hoy sung? I forget the name of the song. Anyway, he was talking about Abraham. And they said when Abraham was pulling up his knife, he had a ram running up a hill, something like that anyway. Already prepared because it was brought on by God. Is everybody still following me? Yeah. Let's give you a little background real quick here. Then we come down to the law. And God gives a holy law. And that holy law can't be kept. No one is able to keep that law. Nobody. Well, that meant everybody's going to die. But God said, no, I will give you something that'll be in its place. So you bring a lamb. You bring a bullock. If you're too poor, you bring your turtle dove. And you come and you kill it. And that will take care of the breaking of the law because you can't keep the law. Are you still following me? Yes. And then he worked it out that he got a priest and got the tabernacle, and they would start then bringing the lambs and bringing them in, and they would take the lamb and they would slay that lamb, a little old pretty lamb. I was down to Yogi Nutter's the other day, and he's got a bunch of sheep and goats, and he had them baby lambs. And I sat there and looked at, I ain't never seen anything any prettier than them old multicolored lambs. I mean, they were so pretty, so innocent, just laying there, just everywhere. I couldn't go nowhere. They was in the way of the truck, and they just sitting there, and I rolled the window down, and I was looking at them. I said, boy, how sweet, huh? I mean, I was really almost emotional. You know what I mean? I was, I'm so pleasant and tender and all these things anyway. But I thought that little lamb, that they would take that little lamb and they would kill it and offer the blood for the sins of the people. And then they would take another one and the priest would confess the sins on that goat, on that kid, if you would. And on that goat, he would confess the sins. And then that fit man would take him out into the wilderness in 3 days' journey. And there they would leave that baby goat out yonder after the sin was confessed. After everything was done, and it showed me again in the Word of God the substitutionary death of Christ. How that he don't just die in my place, but he takes my sin away. Oh, all of it, not some of it, but all of it. And he started, and he showed us that in the Bible. And then we come through to Jesus. We come through to Jesus. John the Baptist is baptizing by the river. And here comes Jesus. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Think about that. He saw him and he said, there he is. There he is. There's Jesus. Can I tell you? Oh, when you're lost and undone and you come, hey, Jesus right there. Because he's going to take care of it tonight. Right. Hear me now. So Jesus went. As we preached this morning, how he suffered. He bled. He died. He rose again. They sung, he pleads for me. Forever pleading my case. Forever interceding, the Bible says, for he sat down at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for me and you. It's what the scripture said. Huh? We still okay? But let's look now at the scripture. And let's just look at the substitutionary death of Jesus. Everybody okay with me tonight? Look here in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he. Well, let's stop there. So who are we talking about? We're talking about God. For he hath made, for he done. God had a perfect and a holy and a righteous plan. God had a plan. God had a plan when Adam and Eve sinned. God had a plan when Cain and Abel had to bring a sacrifice. God had a plan for Abraham. God had a plan for the law, because nobody could keep it, but the blood was a substitute for keeping the law. And now man's in sin. And it's not just going to be Jews now. It's going to be Jews and Gentiles. For the Gentiles didn't have the law, only in put on engraved in their heart. They weren't Jews. What was he going to have to do? He's going to have a Savior. We had to have a Savior. Are you following me? Amen. See, whether you believe it or not, you got to have a Savior. You got to. Because without one, you'll perish. So God had a plan. For he hath made him. Now he, that's God, made him, that's Jesus. Huh? Are you hearing me tonight? God's will God's plan, God's way, God, perfect, holy, righteous, huh? All God done it. God made a way. Are you hearing me? Ain't you glad that God made a way? Huh? That He don't leave us to ourselves. Oh, what would we do if we was left to ourselves? We wouldn't have nothing. I mean, we're a mess. Think about it. But we know we're not left with nothing tonight. Oh, the joy of knowing that God made a way tonight. So let's look at it. For He had made Him to be sin, huh? To be sin, to become sin, huh? To become us, if you would. To take my life. You know what He done? What He really done on Calvary was that He took my life and gave me His life. So when God looks at it now, Christ is living my life, I'm living Christ's life. Whoa, wait a minute. Did you catch that? When God looks, Christ is living my life. Well, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. I'm filthy. I'm a wretch. Huh? Are you following me? But when He looks at me, I'm living Christ's life because I've got His righteousness. That's what happened at the cross. That's why the cross is so important. That's why the cross is preached. It's not church membership. It's not good works. There ain't no good works. It's Christ and Him alone. Huh? It's Him tonight that has it all. It says, for He has made Him sin for us. Not for me, but for us. Not for me, but for us. It's all of us. It is me, but it's us. I'm in the us. And you're in the us. You understand me? For us. For every man. Huh? Look what it says. Who knew no sin? Who knew no sin? He didn't sin going to the cross. He took my sin. It wasn't His. It wasn't His. He never committed none. He was God. He couldn't commit any. He was clean from everlasting to everlasting. He was perfect. Without spot, without blemish, He's God. And He takes my sin, my filth. Think about that. Oh, think how wonderful that is. Who knew no sin, that we, that's us, huh? That's us. All of us, that we be made the righteousness of God in Him. Us sinners becoming like Him. Does that amaze you tonight? That's the cross. That's what Paul said. I didn't come to baptize, but I come to preach the cross. That it might not become of no effect, it's the cross. For I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the cross. Have you been to the cross? Have you been to Christ? We sing the song, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Huh? Have you? This is what happened at the cross. Now I want you to think about this tonight. It's just a little verse. Just one little verse is all we're looking at. Huh? God's mercy allowed us a way out. His mercy allowed us a way out. Think about that. He chose mercy. Holding back what we deserve. And said, I'm going to make a way out. Oh, I'm glad for mercy. But wait a minute, that wasn't enough. Mercy wasn't enough. Mercy said no. Yeah, it held me back. It held back. But that wasn't enough. So He gave me grace. Because mercy allowed us to have a way out. And grace provided the way out. Because He gave me what I didn't deserve. He gave me Jesus. He gave me the cross. Huh? See, it wasn't a little thing. It wasn't just a little event. It was big enough that heaven turned the lights out, that the earth shook and trembled, that the sun would not shine, that all of heaven never hollered or shouted, but all of everything, the world just shut down for a moment as God died for sinners like me and you. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? Think about that. And then the cross, see, is my way out. It's my way out. It's why they've wrote the songs the way they've wrote them. I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I'll forever be true. Huh? His shame and reproach gladly bear. How long till he calls me someday? Why are these songs written? Because people got a handle on the cross. See, when I sin, and everybody sins, and we fail. We do fail. We try and we fail. Maybe we don't want to. Maybe sometimes we don't think about it as much, but we don't desire to go out and do wrong. Huh? But when we do, it ought to break our heart because of the cross. Because of what Christ done. When I come up short, I ought to look to the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Why? They're a precious fountain. Freed all. Hey, and there's something about the cross tonight. Now, I don't worship the wood. I don't worship the hole in the ground. No. I don't have to do the symbols. I don't have to wear it around my neck. I don't have to put it on my vehicle. But I go to the event on the cross where God died for me. For me. Think about that tonight. I have no life. You have no life. You come to the cross. You let God save you. You cease being your own. Because of the cross. Because of the price that was paid. You cease being your own tonight. Are you listening to me? So we can't have it both ways. Everybody know that? Can't have it both ways. You're in or out. Huh? They know standing in the doorway. You're in or out. I growed up, and my daddy would tell me, either in or out. I mean, you stand there at the door open, winter time, in or out. Summertime, flies going in or out. You're not standing in the door. Huh? Are you hearing me? That's what the Lord said, in or out. You either in or you're out. Well, I'm in tonight. I'm in tonight not because of Mark, but because of Christ. Because of the cross. And the cross ought to mean something tonight. It ought to mean something to all of us. Now, let's look on. By faith is how we get in. We believe it. Do you believe it tonight? Do you really believe it? Huh? Do you believe your sins are gone?
Huh?
You believe they're gone, or are you trying to fix them? Huh? You believe they're gone, or are you still trying to work out a deal? Huh? You believe they're gone, or have you trusted the one who died on Calvary? Huh? Think about it. See, this is why the songs are written. This is how we praise the Lord. You ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you why. Because, why? Why? Where are they at? They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as what? Darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. That's why we can sing them. That's why it means something tonight. That's why Paul said there in Galatians, he said, if I'm going to glory, I'm not going to glory in my flesh. I'm not going to glory in nothing I've done and nothing I've accomplished, but I'm going to glory in the cross of Christ. For that's it. For that's it tonight. When we get to heaven, we'll sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." It's not going to matter what we've done. It's not going to matter. It matters what He's done tonight. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, the cross, that's what brings me to Him. The Bible says, "But there's but one mediator between God and man, that's the man, Christ Jesus." I cannot go to God other than by Jesus Christ tonight. Let me ask you, are you saved tonight? Are you thoroughly saved, truly saved? Huh? Are you enjoying the cross? Huh? It's to be remembered more than at communion time. It's to be remembered more at Easter time. It does make a good play. It does make a good drama when we're in big shindigs. It does make a good one. But can I tell you, it's every day. Every day. Paul said, "For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Why did he say that? Why did he say he was crucified? Why did he say to die daily? Because he had trusted Christ, as I preached this morning, that he denied himself. He picked up the cross and followed Jesus. And that's exactly what we ought to be doing today. Father, there's no words that I can explain any plainer, any more than that you died for me. Father, help me to glory in what you've done. Lord, don't glory. I don't want to glory in what the church does. I don't want to glory in what I do or what mankind down here does or what the children or the grandchildren do. Oh, help me glory in what Christ has done. You deserve what, Lord, they sing, we try to sing to you, all the praise goes to Jesus. God, help us to remember. Help us to remember what you've done, that we might be made the righteousness of you, your righteousness. Oh God, help us to live like what we are. Oh God, may we think on that. May we live like who we are and what we are tonight in Christ. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. See you Wednesday.
That's exactly right.